Hello, everyone. How are we doing this Holy Week during the Easter season? So this is the Easter special. I welcome everybody in. I am off this week, but I still wanted to bring everybody an episode to hopefully keep people entertained while they're doing stuff for this holiday week. So during the Lenten season, Catholics, we celebrate Lent, which brings us into Holy Week, which then brings us to Easter weekend. And so during Lent, that's really a time of reflection when you're supposed to, you know, give something up for Lent. You're not supposed to eat meat on Fridays and things of this nature, but you're supposed to take a lot of time kind of reflecting on your life, on, you know, things that are going on. How are you doing as a Christian, as a person? Are you kind of doing the things you should be doing, that kind of thing? So in the spirit of that, you know, we really focus on the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus into heaven. So in the vein of kind of giving reflection and then having some type of renewal here, I wanted to focus on personal finance today. So I wanted to offer a couple of what I felt were great books that could really help you if you're kind of sitting there right now. Maybe your financial life is not going as great as you want it to, or perhaps you had some goals at the beginning of this year to maybe, you know, do some better investing, or maybe just, you know, kind of manage your money a little bit better. And maybe you're looking for just, how do I do that? Maybe you're looking for a lot of ways to do that. Perhaps you are in your 20s and you're just, you know, kind of getting out into the world for the first time. Maybe you're just done college and you're getting your first apartment and you're kind of, you know, moving on with your life, that kind of thing. Or maybe you just got married and you're kind of figuring out, maybe you just got married, maybe you're bought a house, or maybe you're going to buy a house and several, you know, so you're trying to figure that whole situation out. Or perhaps you're in your 50s or 60s and maybe retirement's getting a little closer now and you're starting to think about, well, you know, maybe I need to start really getting my finances in order and getting things together so that hopefully I can retire one day. So in that vein, I'm going to bring up my little PowerPoint slide here. So there are three things I wanted to go over here today. I wanted to talk about a number of different books and things that I hope people will find appealing. So the first one I wanted to talk about was The Total Money Makeover by Dave Ramsey. Dave Ramsey's been around for a long time, had a very successful radio show, written a bunch of books. But I think The Total Money Makeover has perhaps been perhaps his most popular book written over the years. Then I want to talk about Robert Kiyosaki in Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Now, what I find interesting about Robert is that everybody talks about Rich Dad, Poor Dad. That's obviously his most famous book. Robert's probably written 25 books at this point, something like that. But what I find interesting is that Rich Dad, Poor Dad is actually a trilogy. The first three books in the series are Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Cash Flow Quadrant, and Rich Dad's Guide to Investing. And, you know, people always talk about Rich Dad, Poor Dad, but they never talk about the other two books in the trilogy. And you really have to read all three of these together. They're designed like that. They're written like that. Like, you have to get kind of the whole case, if you will, that Robert espouses, you have to read all three books and study all three books and put them all together. But I just find it funny that everybody always just focuses on Rich Dad, Poor Dad. They never mention the other books, which is, again, interesting. And then something that was recommended to me and my wife when we first got married and we started looking at a lot of stuff, you know, many years ago, and there was a seminar. Basically, this is written by the Institute in Basic Life Principles, and it was a gentleman named Jim Sammons. And he wrote this seminar and then did a whole DVD series called Financial Freedom, the Financial Freedom Seminar. And he approaches money from a biblical point of view. And it was definitely one of the most fascinating things I've ever read in terms of the intersection between personal finance and probably biblical scripture. And it was just incredible to kind of put those things together for the first time. And I mean, I think, you know, again, if you're a religious person, you know, if you go to a church, and perhaps you're reading the Bible, and the Bible tells you a lot about money, but you don't necessarily talk about those lessons per se at church or maybe in a Bible study or whatever. So for me, despite all the different experiences I had in life, I had never really had an experience or studied anything where somebody literally pulled all these different things from scripture and put it together in a framework where it was all about money and how you should manage your money and what the scripture tells you about that. So really good things there. I'll get into that in just a minute, but let's go back to the Total Money Makeover, Dave Ramsey right here. So, And also too, I just want to put a disclaimer out there. Like, I'm not getting, I have no sponsorship with any of these people. I'm not getting any money from any of these people. Nobody's paying me for anything, nothing like that. These were all things that I read over the years and if you want to call it the personal finance self-help books, if you will, I thought that these were some of the best. And I'm going to go into as to why I like these books now. So the Total Money Makeover, basically this starts with what he calls like the Total Money Makeover Challenge. He goes into, he talks about things like denial, debt myths, money myths, basically hurdles, ignorance, keeping up with the Joneses, how to save $1,000 fast. And then we get into, the debt snowball, how to basically get rid of debt, finish the emergency fund, make sure you have a fund for emergency purposes, maximize retirement investing, college funding. If you have kids, how do you save money for those kids to go to college, pay off your home mortgage, and then build wealth like crazy, and then live like no one else. And so I feel like Dave, he offers a lot of practical advice, and he offers a lot of things that are really important, how to really maximize your debt, how to use your debt in an appropriate fashion, how to use it as a tool, but also how to not over leverage yourself, how to pay off that debt very quickly, and how to manage your debt in certain aspects of your life, and he gets into, again, a lot of great stuff, developing an emergency fund, maximizing your retirement investing, paying off your home mortgage. And what's nice is with every chapter in the book, he actually gives you real world examples. Like he will have a couple or a family, and as he's going through the chapter, he'll basically say, okay, here's what's going on in this chapter. And then he gives real life examples of people that were dealing with this stuff and how they overcame it and how they went in. So that was one of the things I always liked and appreciated this, because it humanized it. It humanized the aspects of finance and doing a lot of the right things in the right way, and how that really makes a dramatic difference in your life. So highly recommend Total Money Makeover just for its practicality. Looks at all the basics of your financial life, gives you a lot of great advice, a lot of practical tips, a lot of ways to just manage your finances and your life in the right fashion. And also what to do at different stages of your life, when you're young, when you're middle age, as you get older. So again, great stuff there with that Total Money Makeover. Now, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. So I want to get in, I'm going to go through each one of these books a little bit here real quick. So Rich Dad, Poor Dad, if you've never read this book, I will say this, I really like Robert Kiyosaki. I don't agree with everything that he says, but I agree with probably, 90% of what he says. And I'll give you an example of that. So like one of the things he says that kind of irks me a lot is he says that savers are losers. And I understand the sentiment of what he means by that, by basically if you're putting your value in a dollar, that's getting devalued, you're going to be a loser in the long run. But I also don't like it, because I think that savings is a key part of any person who is successful at investing. and managing your life, you have to be a saver. You have to, you got to live within a budget. You got to live below your means. You got to save money. Just as Dave says in his book, you got to have an emergency fund. You got to save for your kids' college. You got to put money away for retirement. So, you have to be a saver. That's a critical, critical part. But what I appreciate the most about Robert Kiyosaki and about what he espouses in Rich Dad, Poor Dad is that it's not so much the things he says, it's the perspective. He forces you to look at finance from a totally different perspective. He forces you to question a lot of the things that are easily accepted. Like, is your house really an asset? Is it really? Because an asset is something that makes you money. An asset is something that generates money for you. An asset is not something that just takes money from you. For the most part, a house, all it ever does is take money from you. And then here's where you get into the theoretical discussion of like, well, but you buy a house and, it appreciates over time and you pay the mortgage down and you build equity and therefore you have equity in that house and it's an asset because then you sell it and you put that money toward retirement or whatever. And, that's all true. But it's a philosophical thought process. It's a philosophical understanding. And he's trying to get you to look at things from a different perspective and kind of question some of the traditional tropes of finance. And that's what I think I most appreciated about Robert and the way that he wrote things and he looked at things. It really forced me to think about things and consider things from a different perspective. So Rich Dad, Poor Dad tells the story of, he has his father, who is his poor dad, and his father is a very super well-educated guy. He was like the superintendent of the school district, kind of did everything right. Like had a family, raised his family, paid his taxes, like did all that stuff or whatever. But he was financially, not that well off. I don't want to say like they were poor, but they were probably, middle class. But he wasn't rich. For all his education, for all the things that he knew and understood, he didn't make big money in his life. And yet then Robert goes to work for another gentleman who becomes his quote unquote, his rich dad. And this is a gentleman who he became very close to, that he worked for a number of years. And his rich dad was a high school dropout, didn't really have any kind of formal education, but he focused on financial literacy. He wanted to learn everything he could about finance, about business, about personal finance. And he wanted to learn about how to develop and make businesses and how to make money. And so his rich dad, who wasn't that well educated, ended up becoming a highly successful individual and making a lot of money. And really taught Robert a lot about investing, about real estate investing, about, building a business and what do you have to do to successfully run a business and how to be an investor and how to be an entrepreneur, how to make money and then how to put, and then more importantly, not only how to make money, but how do you put that money to work for you? So, he basically asks you to invest your time in financial literacy, which I think has always been his most positive message. And that's just, get financially educated. He talks about how the different types of education, you got street smarts, you got book smarts, academic, and then you got financial literacy, and how, most people have one or the other. Most people are either street smart or they're academic smart, but not very many people are financially literate. And that's his message. His message is whatever you are, you got to have the financial component to it. So go out and become financially literate, read as many books on finance and personal finance as you can. Learn a lot of the nuances of personal finance and all the things that are going on there. So now, after Rich Dad, Poor Dad, he takes the whole concept in a different direction. He now goes into what's called the cash flow quadrant. Now, the cash flow quadrant, he basically breaks it down for you. And he says, and if you can see this, you got, kind of show that to you. I can't see if you can see that in there. So you got the quadrant there, the EB, the S, and the I. So the E is when you have a job, you're an employee. The B is when you own a system, you own a business, you own a business and people work for you. The S is a sole proprietor. You know, you own a job, you know, so you're a doctor, you're a lawyer. And then the I stands for an investor. You know, basically the money works for you. So you put your money into investments, you know, real estate projects, maybe private equity, hedge funds, alternative assets, things of that nature. But you're an investor and that money is working for you. And he talks about these four different quadrants and, you know, how people make money in those quadrants and how taxes affect you in different ways in those quadrants and why the people that own businesses and are investors invest money will always make more money than people that are in the employee and the sole proprietor side of the bracket. So it's a very, very important bracket to understand. And you know, me from coming from a banker's perspective, when you think about, well, how am I going to invest the bank's money? Who am I going to lend money to that's going to be able to maximize the return for the bank? You know, people that are going to be able to successfully pay that money back, that know how to successfully run a business. And so, you know, a lot of times I would think about these four quadrants and, you know, are you an employee that's now looking to buy the business? And are you an employee that's now becoming a sole proprietor because maybe you went out and got a law degree and now you become a lawyer and you opened up a shingle for a law firm? You know, are you a business owner or you're a sole proprietor, but now you're moving into the investment side of the equation? You know, now, you know, you want to buy a real estate investment, things like that. So a lot of just great things there to think about. And then the final book, Rich Dad's Guide to Investing. So in this book, which I think perhaps is the most important, is that he really breaks down for you what, you know, he kind of talks a little bit about the psychology of investing at the beginning, if I'm remembering this correctly. Kind of talks about, you know, are you mentally prepared to become an investor? So we get into that. And then we get into, you know, what type of investor do you want to become? And this is really critical because he breaks down the categories of investors. An accredited investor. If you don't know what an accredited investor is, you really need to go out and you know, do a Google search on that. You'll see that the SEC has rules for what is an accredited investor. And if you are not an accredited investor, you are basically locked out of a lot of the best investment vehicles that are out there, you know, hedge funds, private equity, you know, private placement memorandums, things of that nature from financial advisors, IPOs, things of that nature. So, you know, your goal at the end of the day, you know, if you're trying to become a truly wealthy person is you definitely want to try to become an accredited investor. But then he gets into like a qualified investor, a sophisticated investor, an inside investor, the ultimate investor, which are really just his different versions of what as an investor are you, what are you trying to achieve in life? You know, are you trying to, you know, just really get into real estate? Are you trying to develop businesses? Are you trying to, maybe be an inventor or something of that nature? Are you trying to, just become a serial entrepreneur or something of that nature? So he kind of gets into these different things and then he breaks down like, you know, who is a sophisticated investor, who is an ultimate investor, that kind of thing. So it's a great, all three of these books together are going to teach you about, you know, kind of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, basic philosophy, cash flow quadrant, what quadrant are you in and how does that affect you? You know, how does that affect your ability to make money? How does that affect, you know, the taxes, what are the tax ramifications for you in those different quadrants? How do you step in and out of those different quadrants? And then finally, the guide to investing, you know, where are you at mentally? Where are you at in your kind of your journey in financial literacy, your financial education? And then ultimately, do you want to become an accredited investor? And if you do, what do you need to do to get there? And then what kind of investor ultimately do you want to become? Do you want to become a sophisticated investor, an ultimate investor? You know, what is it that you want? But I always tell people, people have asked me over the years, like, well, you know, oh, hey, what kind of, you know, books do you like on personal finance or whatever? And I tell them, oh, I say Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And they're like, oh yeah, I've heard of that book, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then, but I always tell them, I always say you got to read the Rich Dad trilogy. And they're like, well, what's the Rich Dad trilogy? Like, cause again, nobody ever talks about it that way. They always just talk about Rich Dad, Poor Dad, but you know, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, it's only like you're only getting a third of the pie. You know, you're only getting a third of the piece of it. You got to read, or you got to look at all three of these books together. And then once you read all three of these together, that's when you get the whole pie, you get the whole picture, the whole thing gets laid out in front of you. So again, I think highly great set of books there to read. So now let's look at this financial freedom seminar. And I'm going to click down here to my second slide. Okay. So Financial Freedom Seminar. So basically with this, you get a book. You get this very nice book here. Very nice, really nice book. It also comes with this kind of quiz placement book, which is kind of like a book, it's kind of like a study guide, study manual that you follow along with. And it has quizzes on each chapter and stuff like that. And you can go through and answer the questions and whatnot. But then you get this. You get the 10 DVDs. You know, it has the different DVD sets in here, and there's basically this whole thing is like 16 hours. And I think each DVD has a couple of different, a couple different things on it. Comes in English and Spanish. So you can basically watch the DVDs and then read, you know, I mean, basically, I think is if I remember correctly, when I went through this was it was basically like read the chapter and then watch the DVD that goes along with this. So there's like 16 chapters in the book, and you watch an episode that corresponds with the chapter in the book. So that's kind of the premise there. And the book is the book itself is fantastic. So it starts out with, you know, the, you know, 20 essential goals to gain financial freedom. So number one, learn what it really means to be financially free. Number two, know God's four purposes for money. Number three, identify and reject false financial concepts. Number four, recognize God's reproofs for wrong ways to riches. Number five, choose to serve God rather than money. Number six, establish the tithe as a weekly reminder. Number seven, purpose to keep out of debt. Number eight, learn to live within your income. Number nine, develop sales resistance. In other words, stay away from QVC. Number 10, flee from the hidden traps of swindlers. Number 11, learn how to get the best buy. Number 12, be committed to an effective accounting system. Number 13, never lend to friends or co-sign for a loan. Number 14, develop the full potential of your home. Number 15, choose a good name, whatever the cost. And I think that's one of the most important lessons here. Choose a good name, whatever the cost. Number 16, learn the principles of praying for money. Number 17, avoid business partnerships. Number 18, identify and conquer slothfulness. Number 19, listen to the cautions of your wife. Great advice. Number 20, prepare now for a lasting heritage. And the book is really great because it has some great artwork in here. And it breaks out, like if you kind of see here, I'll kind of show you guys real quick, kind of like a page in here. So it has, you know, some great artwork in there that you can see kind of starts off every chapter and has, you know, and basically it has, you know, Bible verses and scripture. And again, it approaches everything from a scriptural, you know, from a scriptural background, scriptural context. So again, I mean, I think this whole series is absolutely fantastic. So, I mean, if you've ever kind of sat there and wondered about like, well, how does the religious principles that I've learned, how does that relate back to money? This is the perfect set for that. This will walk you through and explain it so much. And so basically, and then a little thing here. So it says Jim Sammons teaches important financial how-tos, such as how to get out of debt, deal with compromises, make wise investments, build the spirit of a marriage, teach principles to children, work with people, and other skills. His insights based on scripture are helpful for becoming a successful person, marriage partner, parent, and financial steward. And I would, after having gone through the whole thing, I would absolutely agree with all of that. So, and you can, I'll put a link in the description below, but you can find this set if you want to buy. It's been so long. It's been like 16 years. So I literally went back just to say like, oh, they're actually still selling this thing. So I went back. They are still selling it. The website that you go to is called the Institute in Basic Life Principles, and you can find it at www.iblp.org. They're obviously a nonprofit organization. So again, things that I'm recommending here, obviously Total Money Makeover by Dave Ramsey, the Rich Dad Trilogy, not the book, just the trilogy. So Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Rich Dad's Cash Flow Quadrant, and Rich Dad's Guide to Investing. And then the Financial Freedom Seminar by Jim Sammons. So I hope everybody found that. I hope everybody finds this useful from a personal financial standpoint. I mean, I really want to espouse financial literacy as that's kind of the whole goal behind this podcast. I mean, this podcast is designed to be educational. It's to bring people, hopefully a lot of great information that they can put to use, whether it's in their business life or their everyday personal finance life, their investing life, whatever the case may be. I really am hoping to bring people a lot of this great financial information that they can use and can hopefully make a difference for them. And so I hope people will go out in the spirit of reflection and renewal. I hope people will go and investigate these things and try to increase their financial literacy, try to increase the skills that they have on a personal financial level. And, so with that, I'll kind of wrap up and I'll basically just say, I wish everybody a happy Easter. I hope everybody had a wonderful Holy Week and I can't wait to come back. I hit episode number, 100 here last week, which was a great, great milestone. And I can't wait to keep going here and just hopefully bring you guys a ton of additional great stuff throughout the rest of the year. And I will be back next week. And I hope everybody has a wonderful holiday and I will see everybody again real soon. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.